Let us pray. Gracious God, may the words of my mouth begin in my heart and be a light along life's path for these, your people. Amen. A mother was hanging out with her four-year-old daughter. The child picked something up off the ground and started to put it into her mouth, as kids will do. The mother took it away and said, "Don't do that." "Why not?" asked the child. "Because it was on the ground," said her mother. "You don't know where it's been. It's dirty. It's probably loaded with germs that could make you sick." The child looked at her mother with total admiration and said, "Mommy, how do you know all this stuff? You're so smart." The mother said, "All moms know this stuff. It's on the mom's test. You have to know it, and if you don't, they won't let you be a mom." There was a silence for just a minute. Then the child thought it through and said, "Oh, I get it. And if you don't pass the test, you get to be the daddy." Welcome to Father's Day. There are some dads in our conversation who probably don't want the attention. That's what dads do. But there are some really fine dads in our congregation, and we want to honor them. After all, it's not easy being a dad. A woman wrote to a magazine to tell about an event that had occurred in her family when she was just 18 months old. She knew this story because it had been told over and over. In this occasion, her mother was out and her dad was in charge of her, as well as her brother, who was 4 years older. She says that she just recovered from an accident in which she received some injuries. Someone had given her a little tea set as a get-well gift, and it was one of her favorite toys. Her dad was in the living room, engrossed in the evening news, and her brother was playing nearby in the living room when the little girl brought her dad a little cup of make-believe tea. It was just plain water. After several cups of tea and lots of praise from her dad for making such a yummy concoction, the little girl's mom came home. Her dad made mom wait in the living room to watch this 18-month-old bring him a cup of tea because it was just the cutest thing. Her mom waited, and sure enough, here the little girl came down the hall with a cup of tea for her daddy. Mom watched dad drink the special tea and then asked dad, "Did it ever occur to you that the only place an 18-month-old girl could get a cup of tea is out of the toilet?" Yeah, it's not easy being a dad. But it never has been more important to have good dads than it is now. These are stressful times, times that require superlative parenting. I know that not every biological father is a good dad, but some are. And there are stepdads who are facing the challenge of being a dad to children who may or may not be ready to accept them as their dad. There are also grandfathers who are willing to fill the role of surrogate dads. Today, we sincerely salute all these men who are conscientiously seeking to provide a positive environment to young people, in whatever role they may be, just as we salute the moms on Mother's Day. Our scripture lesson for today concerns that time when Jesus stilled the storm on the Sea of Galilee. This story is one of the most dramatic scenes in all of the New Testament. Jesus then turns to the disciples after stilling the storm and asks, "Why are you so afraid? Do you still have no faith?" Then the author of the Gospel of Mark tells us something really interesting. He says they, meaning the disciples, were terrified, and they ask each other, "Who is this? Even the wind and the waves obey him." The disciples in this story were more frightened by the fact that Jesus was able to still the storm than they ever were the storm itself. Jesus has always been in the business of stilling storms. We need to understand that. We need to know that. Sometimes these storms are in our individual hearts. Sometimes these storms are in our families. Sometimes they're in our church. Sometimes they're in our society. But Jesus, no matter where the storm is in the business of stilling it. A storm within one's own soul can have tragic circumstances. Jealousy, anger, bitterness, guilt. The list of storms that can rock our individual souls is lengthy indeed. We need a savior when such storms rage within. But there are other storms. Storms that may rock our relationships. Those storms may be in our marriages, or between us and our children, or in our workplace, even in our congregation, even in our community as a whole. In the 19th century, philosopher Arthur Schopenhauer compared the human race to porcupines huddled together on a bitter cold night. The colder it gets outside, the more we huddle together for warmth. But the closer we get to one another, the more we hurt one another with our sharp quills. You see, I know about this because I recently saw a video on YouTube about porcupines. They are members of the rodent family. They have around 30,000 quills attached to their bodies. Each quill can be driven into an enemy, and the enemy's body heat will cause the microscopic barb to expand and become firmly embedded. The wounds they cause can fester. The more dangerous ones, those that affect vital organs, can even be fatal. The porcupine is not generally regarded as a lovable animal. Books and movies celebrate almost every other conceivable animal. Of course, dogs and cats, horses, even pigs like Babe or Arnold Ziffel in Green Acres. Spiders in Charlotte's Web. I remember these TV shows from my childhood. And others like Flipper the Dolphin and Gentle Ben the Bear. A killer whale named Willie when my kids were little. But to be honest, I've never seen a book or movie embrace a porcupine. The YouTube video went on to say, as a general rule, porcupines have two methods for handling relationships, withdrawal and attack. They either head for a tree or they stick out their quills. They are generally solitary animals. Wolves run in pack. Sheep, they huddle in flocks. We speak of herds of elephants and gaggles of geese and even a murder of crows. But there is no special name for a group of porcupines. They travel the world alone. Porcupines don't always want to be alone. In late autumn, a young porcupine's thoughts turn to love. But love turns out to be a risky business when you're a porcupine. Females are open to dinner and a movie only once a year. The window of opportunity quickly closes. After a girl porcupine's no is the most widely respected turndown in the entire animal kingdom. Fear and anger make them dangerous, even though they're little creatures. My point about all this porcupine talk is this. How often, even in the closest of relationships, we can hurt one another. Even worse, toxic feelings have a way of intensifying if not dealt with it at the earliest possible moment. It is not enough to ride out these storms. Someone needs to calm the storm. That someone, of course, is not us, but Jesus. But how? How does Jesus calm these storms? Well, first of all, Jesus calms the storm within us. We will do well, in dealing with stormy relationships, if we follow Jesus' example. If we try to do it on our own, we're up a creek. One reason we have conflict with others is that we have conflict within ourselves. We are often part of the problem rather than part of the solution. We strike back when we should keep quiet. We disparage when it's time to encourage. We sulk when we should be reaching out. We have to calm the storm within ourselves before we can calm the storms in our relationship with others. Baseball superstar Mickey Mantle was interviewed shortly before his death. Now Mantle, of course you'll know, was a hero on the baseball field, but not such a superstar off the field. After his playing days ended, he checked into the Betty Ford Clinic to deal with the consequences of a lifetime of alcohol abuse. Part of his struggle involved the loss of his son, Billy, who had died of a heart attack while suffering from Hodgkin's disease, a genetic disease that had killed Mantle's father and grandfather at early ages as well. In the interview, Mantle said, "One of the things I learned at the Betty Ford Clinic was why I was depressed. I wasn't a good father. I always felt like I wasn't there for my kids, like my father was for me. Sometimes we have to conquer our own personal demons before we can reach out to others. Jesus calms the storms first by calming us. Secondly, Jesus calms the storm by helping us imitate his way of dealing with people. We remember how Jesus dealt with people. With gentleness, with kindness, with forgiveness when it's asked for, and with justice when it's needed. Could we be like that even as we firmly maintain our own integrity? It's tough. But we can accomplish this enormous task only one way, by walking as closely as we can with Jesus. Sometime back, the BBC produced a television series called Walking with Dinosaurs. It seems that dinosaurs had a good trick to improve their own safety. They would always walk in a single file line, each one following in the footsteps of the one before. That way, any other creature that came across their trail would be unable to tell whether there was one dinosaur or two dinosaurs or a large herd of these large animals. We read in 1 Peter chapter 2, "To this you were called, because Christ suffered for you, leaving you an example that you should follow in his steps. Christ committed no sin, and no deceit was found in his mouth. When they hurled insults at Christ, he did not retaliate. When he suffered, he made no threats." That's quite an example. The only way we could possibly follow that example is to walk as closely with him as possible, to walk in his steps. But that includes being just when justice is required. Christ can calm the storms within us. He can calm the storms in our own hearts, in our own homes, in our community, in our congregation, and in our world. This is an important thing to remember. It's said that surgeons invited to dinner parties are often asked to carve the meat, or worse yet, to watch the host carve the meat, while commenting on the surgeon's occupation. At one party, one surgeon was watching the carving while his host kept up a running commentary. "How am I doing, doc? What do you think of my technique? I would make a pretty good surgeon, don't you think?" When the host finished and the slices of meat lay neatly on the serving platter, the surgeon finally spoke up. "Anybody can take them apart, Harry. Now let's see you put them back together." What's true of meat is also true of relationships. It is much easier to carve them apart than it is to put them back together. Christ can heal a severed relationship, but it's better if things do not get that far in the first place. We need to have Christ calm the storms in our individual lives before they destroy us. We need him to calm the storms in our families and in our other precious relationships before such relationships are permanently damaged. We are blessed to have Jesus as our teacher and our guide when it comes to calming storms. Amen.